Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
And we are here for another week of headlines developing in the clown world, per usual. Before we get started, please don't forget to show us some support by hitting like and subscribing to our channel. And if you can, click on that notification bell so that you don't miss any of our episodes or our shorts or any of the stuff that we upload randomly.
Absolutely.
So, hey girl.
Where's the live on the YouTube? I don't see it. Okay.
Do we see it now?
Yeah. I see it.
Okay, I'm not seeing anybody in the chat just yet.
Let me go make an announcement.
Hi, Annabella.
Hold on.
Give us a second while we make the announcements that we are, in fact, going live, guys. In the meantime, make yourselves at home.
Hey, guys. I am live on YouTube with Bella. We're about to record another podcast, so come join us. And, yeah, we'll go. Hold on.
Who else is on the line? Who do we have here?
Who's watching this? This is hilarious.
We got four people watching us right now.
Okay. Hey, guys. I'm live on YouTube with Bella. We're about to record another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. Come join us and stay in tune for clown world headlines.
We always figure that it's better to do this with you guys on the phone because if not,
Yeah, let's just let some people come in the room, right, Angel?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about you guys. Hey, Reyna, welcome. Hey, Judith. Hey, Annabella. Thank you guys for joining us. We're getting ready now. Let me post this over on Truth Social. If you are on Truth Social, make sure to follow me and Linda. I keep telling Linda, Kanye's about to come on Truth Social, and that's the place to be at when he does. So if you're not on Truth Social, get on, download the app, and follow us at Red Pill Babe and Wake Up with Linda.
Is that my Truth Social?
Yeah, you're Wake Up with Linda too. I believe you are.
Hold on a second. I just didn't post. Hey guys, I'm going live on YouTube right now with Bella. We're about to go over a couple headlines in clown world and have some fun. So join us right here. Hold on.
We're almost there. I am from Indiana and I love you girls. Aw, love you too, Reyna. Thank you. So, Tio Juancho wants to know what's the topic of the day. So, we're going to be talking about the CDC and the new children's schedule. We're going to be talking, of course, about Kanye West.
The cancellation that's taking place. And also, I'm going to go over my frustrations with the entire... Here's something that really pisses me off about the internet. Like, for some reason, whether it's SOS Colombia or the BLM stuff, followers love to push creators, influencers, whatever you want to call it, into condemning an action of a random person. In this case, it would be Kanye West, or standing up for Iran or standing up for Cuba. Like, there's like this social pressure that we get every single time there's some controversy in the news or a new social media movement. And it's so annoying because I have people down my DM like, you need to condemn Kanye West, or like, you haven't talked about West.
They do it with everybody. It's like, if you're Kanye's keeper.
Oh, you're still like supporting Kanye West. Like, his comments are clearly anti-Semitic. It's so annoying. I can't begin to tell you how annoying it is. For a few reasons, but the main one is because none of us speak for anybody else. Like, I don't speak for Kanye West. I don't speak for Candace Owens, or for, like, 3 weeks ago, it was a Christian Walker thing that they wanted to pressure people to talk about it and denounce and say that he was in the wrong, betraying his father or whatever the case was. And it's just, it's one of those things that they want you to be fake. They want you to be fake just so you can stand with Iran, or just so you can stand with
what it is Afghanistan that or whatever. They become, conservatives become their own form of mob, no different than the left does, when you veer off of the mainstream conservative narrative, right? So the mainstream conservative narrative now being pushed out by the bigger publications, the bigger names, is that Kanye is, the ones that are not calling him anti-Semitic are calling him crazy. Mm-hmm. The ones that are not calling him crazy are calling him unstable. So it seems to be a combination of just any way to silence Kanye. And again, I'm not making an argument for or against what it was that Kanye said. I think that there's still a lot more that has to develop in. But why do we act like conservatives don't cancel free speech just as anybody else? The truth is that conservatives should want to protect free speech, even right. if that free speech is something that you disagree with. If we are not the ones protecting free speech, then who is? And when you fall into the sign where it's like, well, either you fall in love with the fall in line with the mainstream conservative Republican talking points, and if you don't, then we'll cancel you too. No different than the left does.
Well, here's what's interesting about the entire anti-Semitism conversation is that when you look at the stats of where the most hate against Jewish people is taking place, or anti-Semitic acts or whatever you want to call them, it's actually taking place in liberal cities and states like California and New York. Actually, I believe like LA and New York really? Are the top two places where there's been like hate acts against Jewish people. Also in college campuses, which as we know are indoctrination centers for liberal ideas. So this entire condemnation on the left loves to do it, but everyone is Hitler, everyone's a Nazi, they associate the right wing with that type of extremism. When it comes down to statistics from the FBI and anti-Semitism hate crimes, it's not coming from red states. It's not coming from red counties or cities or areas. It's coming from liberal cities. Which they don't want to talk about it. At the same time, conservatives always point to the fact that, like when they have the gun argument, like there's more gun laws or, you know, in gun-free zones, it's where the most shootings occur and whatnot. And basically alluding to the fact that the more gun laws that there is and restrictions on guns, then the more violence that it actually occurs, right? There are so many anti-Semitism laws. Federal, state. Federal,
state. We got our own there's set so of
much,
laws here.
There's so much laws that it almost boggles me how people aren't putting two and two together. That's like, if there's so much protection, but then how is it that allegedly crimes are going up, but all this protection is there too? Like, it just, you see what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, what else?
Nobody looks at the cause and effect of things, right? Like, right. Nobody wants, like, the basic things. Chicago mm-hmm. has very strict gun laws, and yet crime skyrockets. So right. how do you consolidate both things being true, that strict gun laws lead to safer spaces, then meanwhile you have somewhere like Chicago that has very strict gun laws and quite the opposite is happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, how do you justify the fact that those two cannot exist in the same place together?
I just honestly, this entire week, that's why I barely even touched the subject. Like everywhere I look, there's an entire meltdown over Kanye West. And I think the fact that he's been going on some shows, like I think he went on Piers Morgan and he's had like some interviews here and there, and he's not really backing down on his statements, even though he's made it very clear that it has nothing to do with the Jewish community and everything to do with the people in power, the executives that he's dealt with and have actually canceled him from his shows. He just talked about he was supposed to have 6 sold out shows. Forgot where exactly, but all of his stadium tours have been canceled. So there's, and I think that this is a long-term fight that Kanye has had in the industry since he came out, to be real, because a lot of people don't know this, but Kanye was actually canceled completely and his music taken off the radio after the entire Taylor Swift incident, where he was forced basically to leave the US and go live in Japan. And so I think that this entire trajectory of bad business deals within Hollywood or within the music industry and the people in charge is what really has him now. Like he said it, he's like, I'm hurt, I'm pissed. Like they've ruined my life. I have no celebrity friends. My marriage, like everything that's happening, canceling tours. The dude that was supposed to make his White Lives Matter shirt, his friend. So, you know, allegedly his friend, who is a Jewish business owner, decided to not print the shirts anymore because of the message. So
I made a comment today along the lines that it seems like there's always a campaign to cancel Kanye. Mm-hmm. Every 4 or 5 years or so, there's mm-hmm. a new campaign to try and cancel Kanye. Probably the most hilarious cancellation to me of all of them was the Balenciaga one, where it's like, If you guys are not aware, like, Kanye had to create a space for himself within the fashion industry.
Right.
All the doors were shut on him. Everyone told him no. He went to all the big fashion houses, of course, with his ginormous, very justified ego that he has. He went to all the fashion houses and said, I've got these great ideas. Mm-hmm. And nobody took him serious. So Kanye went and created a space for himself. If you guys are unaware, At Leisure has become the fastest growing part of the apparel industry in general. While all other fashion sales were going down, At Leisure, which is very much the trend that Kanye creates when he comes out with the Yeezy line, mm-hmm. has transformed the fashion industry in general.
Right.
Right. So it's interesting to watch the trendsetter.
He's a trendsetter.
He is. And Kanye had to create his own space in the fashion world. So to hear the same fashion names that shut doors on him, didn't create one opportunity for him, all of a sudden say, we're going to cancel Kanye. It's like, all right, well, congratulations on that. Who gives a shit? Well, you guys never gave him an opportunity to begin with.
You know, and I just think it's interesting that, you know, this specific community or demographic, whatever you want to call it, thinks that they are exempt from criticism. And it goes across the board. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or they're Democrats, conservative or liberal. This is how they view stuff. And it's been very apparent within the last few weeks, especially people down the DM who've tried to argue with me about why they shouldn't have criticism. And the reason why they think they shouldn't have criticism is because there's only 15 to 20 million Jewish people around the world. And because they've suffered so much through history, obviously we all know we're not taking that away. It's dangerous to go on these anti-Semitic narratives. So basically, because of all that, they're shielded from all criticism and you can't call them out. Whenever we talk about why South Florida save Trump during the 2020 election, we talk about the Cuban Americans. And for some reason, if I were to say that, you know, 80% of Jewish people vote Democrat, and therefore we should perhaps pay attention to another demographic, pay more attention from the Republican Party standpoint, from a business standpoint, to pay more attention to the Latino vote. You know, instead of caring more about the Black community or the Jewish community, they'd come after you. Like, nobody talks about that. During the lockdown, and this is something that I anomaly actually brought up this week. During the lockdown, Israel has some of the strictest policies in the entire world. They had a green pass. Mm-hmm. Like, they were forced the population
to all get vaccinated.
And you had conservatives criticizing every single state, person, country, prime minister around the world that was doing pretty much the same thing as Israel, but they never mention Israel because they're scared of any criticism against Israel, because technically the State Department has made it that if you say anything negative towards the state of Israel, you're therefore anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist. It's crazy.
It doesn't even have to be negative. Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up the example earlier today about
cool.
basketball player
LeBron James.
About LeBron James when he's like, "Oh, I'm getting Jewish money. Yeah. And everybody lost their ish about it, and they're like, "That's anti-Semitic." Meanwhile, there's a song trending. They're getting Arab money. So what's the difference? It's the same, you know, the same conversation that we had a couple of weeks prior when the protests in Iran started happening over women wearing the hijab. Orthodox Jews also cover their
hair. I just saw them today when I was rollerblading.
No one calls that oppression.
No
one calls that oppression. And I think
they wouldn't. They would never. Conservatives would never say anything against this specific community because they're so scared of being canceled. Ben Shapiro is one of the biggest hypocrites out there when it comes to certain demographics. Then Ben Shapiro will sit there at a college campus and tell you why the Black community is so broken, why kids don't graduate, why they're more prone to violence and crime and all these things, specifically talking about the Black community, Black culture for that matter. I just saw that video and no one's going to call Ben Shapiro. I mean, the left will, but we won't. I mean, it is what it is if you're just stating facts about a specific demographic. But Ben Shapiro, the minute anybody says anything about Israel or his people, he's calling Kanye right now a mentally unstable bipolar person, saying that he's going through a manic episode and that he's not stable and that's why he's acting this
way. It's almost like he has
to
say that.
It's so bad.
It's almost like he has to say that because it's what we discussed. Like, his feet are being held to the fire right now with the Candace Owen conversation, where it's like, how can Ben Shapiro, this person who screams anti-Semitism at any opportunity in defense of Israel, continue to employ Candace Owen, who hasn't disavowed Kanye West? And then it's almost like, well, if he just calls Kanye crazy and makes Candace sound like a good friend for supporting her crazy friend, then maybe he can kind of get around it. But I'm definitely leaning towards your theory, which is that Candace probably isn't going to be with the Daily Wire for more than a year.
No, I don't think she will. I don't think Candace is going to stay with the Daily Wire, maybe until her contract is over. But I think that the fact that she remains very loyal to Kanye West, the fact that she's not disavowing him or demanding an apology, or what I like to call, what is it that I like to call him? Rituals?
The humiliation rituals.
You know, that's what they do. Is kind of like the black square, and you know, you got to stand up for BLM. That's a humiliation ritual.
You got to take
a knee. Like that's a humiliation. I think that the fact that she's not doing that may actually cause her relationship with the Daily Wire and with Ben Shapiro. And today I just sent it to Angel. Maybe he can put it up on the screen. I sent you a tweet. This is funny, guys.
We're working with our producer right now trying to figure this out.
But basically, there is an anti-Semitism watchdog. I believe it's antisemitism.gov. And they just tweeted out the anti-Semite of the week. And it's Kanye West, of course. And they list all the things that he said that they obviously believe are anti-Semitic. At the same time, they're asking Apple and Spotify to drop his music from these apps. Like, this is how far they're willing to take it, right? So Kanye alludes to the fact that there's a certain group that invented cancel culture. Most people are saying, this is wrong, you shouldn't say that. However, all these watchdogs...
While simultaneously,
all these watchdogs are trying to cancel Kanye, his music, his legacy, because... they're pissed off that he dared to say anything about.
And it seems like the cancellation is coming from the top of every industry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to cancel Kanye. And then here's the really infuriating part is that nobody wants anti-Semitism. Nobody wants racism and bigotry of any kind. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to watch somebody like Billy Corbin, for example, who is a Jewish man.
A Jewish filmmaker.
Openly. Mm-hmm. A Jewish gay man. Is he gay?
I think so.
I think so. We're not sure, but I think he's gay. Might be, allegedly. Billy Corbin can take to his Twitter page and rant endlessly about Christians, mock them, make fun of our faith, make fun of us believing in Jesus. He will openly do this. No one cancels him. There is no Christian Defamation League. Right. There is no one in Hollywood or mm-hmm. in sports that says, you know what? We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to allow open Jewish extremists right. to attack Christians.
Right.
And he's also a white man attacking minorities openly. And again, mm-hmm. no one cancels him. But I think that this is where the hypocrisy comes in. You can't even make a positive generalization about the Jewish community without them coming for the jugular.
Well, we won't make her famous and name her, but this one woman, right? There's this local woman. She doesn't have a following. She's not an influencer. She tries, but she's a fucking loser. Anyways, this woman, she wanted to get together with local moms and start going to the school board and start getting involved. And what ended up happening was that it just didn't work out, or the group.
It was. She claims that there was a meeting where she brought all these facts, but there was no meeting that ever took place. So basically,
the point is that there's this local woman that tried to work with some of our mom friends. And when that didn't happen, and actually the organization dissolved because it wasn't doing anything, instead of just saying that things didn't work out, she said that it was Christian women that were anti-Semitic who didn't want to work with her because she's Jewish. We have all the, she's not big enough for us to post her and shout her out. And we're not going to make her famous, but she was...
Oh, she would love that.
She was literally tagging the ADL, tagging all these people trying to trash credit. Locals.
This yeah. woman takes open right. credit for bringing down Gypsy Crusader. And it was horrifying to watch because it was creating an anti-Semitic narrative out of just thin air. It didn't matter. But
like we asked because the moms,
she was aware... Right. That is by far the most harmful thing that you can do to hurt someone's credibility and to cancel mm-hmm. someone, then she knew that all she had to do was give it a couple of spins. And if she even made it sound slightly right. like a criticism or not even a generalization mm-hmm. of the Jewish community,
right.
then that was enough for her to have a platform to discredit anybody that she felt. It's an open attack that she was using. You don't have to be an anti-Semitic. It's just she's going to make you sound like one right. in order to be able to push along her narrative, which is such an awful thing to weaponize against other people. It's like, if you piss me off, I'm going to accuse you of being an anti-Semite, and you don't have to piss me off over anything that's even related to me being Jewish. It could just... You know, you took my parking space and I'm going to tell people you're an anti-Semitic.
It's just absolutely insane that this is what it comes to. What? The picture? It's up? Yeah, put it up for a second. Can you guys see this? Can you type in the chat and tell me if you see it? This picture? You guys see how...
In the meantime, while that goes up...
Think Kanye... There
it is. I want to thank Eric Joseph, who's a regular on my Telegram chat, for his contribution to our channel. He says that he got here on time this day and started early. Thank you, Eric, for your support. Eric. We appreciate you on the show, and I appreciate you on my chat as well.
And so this is a tweet that I was talking about, and so there's a second part to it, but this is the organization, the blue check marks, that are trying to get Kanye's music off of Spotify and Apple, and they also, I think, won Adidas to drop them, or is that ADL?
There's a couple of people calling for Adidas to drop them.
Okay, well, it's too bad that today Yeezy Gap restocked all these sweaters. This is a Yeezy Gap sweater, and most of the sizes sold out almost immediately, because I know that, because I wanted a black one in size medium, and it was sold out by like 10:30 a.m. So I didn't think that the Kanye legacy is going to go anywhere anytime soon. What I was thinking
Cancel him harder.
What I was actually thinking is that perhaps this is the way that Kanye... makes them drop the contracts, because you know how he wanted Adidas, and I think Balenciaga is going to break up with him, but I think he wanted Adidas to completely end Gap, to completely dissolve the contract, and he wants to go solo. So maybe this is the way that they will break out of those contracts and say, you can just go on your own because you're a really big liability, and we'll see about that. But you know what I think it's shows how most humans are extremely ungrateful is the fact that George Floyd's baby mama, in behalf of his daughter, I believe, are going to sue Kanye for like $235 million, right? They're pissed off at the fact that during an interview with Drink Champs, Noriega, and some other dude from Revolt, he said that he watched the Candace Owens documentary and that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose and not the knee or something like that. And so... last year, or in 2020, Kanye was one of the celebrities that gave the most money to the Floyd family. In fact, he started his daughter's college fund and donated $2 million to this family. And now this family is trying to sue Kanye again, or trying to sue Kanye for literally one sentence that he said in Drink Champs that alleges that George Floyd died with fentanyl in his system, which is true because everybody knows that. Right. And he was, you know, it's part of the toxicology report.
Correct.
But it just goes to show you the nature of human beings and the grift that is actually the Floyd family and BLM as well. So
we have a couple of people. So some comments, somebody said that they had a feeling that it was Candace and Matt Walsh that were keeping the lights on at the Daily Wire. And I don't think that you guys are wrong.
No, I don't think you guys are wrong.
One of the things that I just read is that Matt Walsh has been kind of getting canceled all over these liberal universities and colleges. And, you know, he's got a big Antifa presence that's showing up. Anyways, he just announced that he's not going to bow down to the mob. He's going to be on November 17 at Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And Antifa has already planned to launch a full-scale attack.
Antifa, the morality police.
Yeah.
The morality police.
The Western morality police. They're expecting that there's going to be, they're expecting over 1,000 Antifa members. They're probably just as disruptive as the George Floyd riots. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see how out of control that gets when, again, all Matt Walsh is talking about is a What Is a Woman documentary, which seems to be a really controversial topic. We didn't have it on the list, but we should talk about Dylan Mulvaney today.
I mean, he's we don't have him on the list, but we did. Didn't we have him on the list?
No, we didn't have him on the list. So for those of you who do not know, Dylan Mulvaney is a online influencer, a TikTok influencer, probably has over 8 million followers, I believe. And he has been recording his transition from man to girl. He doesn't want to be a woman. He wants to be a girl. And he's on day 160 something or whatever. And major makeup retail stores, Ulta, host a podcast, and in the podcast it's two transgender men, the host and Dylan Mulvaney. And Dylan goes on to say about how he's going to be able to do all of these things now that he's
including
a woman.
Motherhood,
including being a mother, which is open.
So once again, I did a little chart, and it's on my Instagram of, you know, who has more rights than women, right? Because it was women's rights that actually paved the rights of the gays and the transgenders and everybody else. And because of women's rights, we now have to compete with transgenders, and they are taking over our spaces. So this weekend we found out that Ulta has two men pretending to be women as the faces of What Is a Womanhood. And then we also found out that Estee Lauder, is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. The makeup company also hired a transgender to be the face of their newest campaign. And it's probably one of the ugliest transgenders that I've ever seen. But hey, they're trying to sell women makeup. And so I guess they pick one of the ugliest people to be the face of a makeup brand. And again, and I said this under Ian Smith. Ian Smith had a post yesterday that he thought it was so based. And it was like, oh, and by the way, we really like Ian Smith. And I commented on his post. I'm not talking shit. He knows exactly how I feel. He says, for all of you smooth brains, we don't really care if you're gay or transgender or whatever you want to do with your body as an adult. You know, just keep it away from children. It's like, bro, what is it that you guys don't understand that the live and let live is why we got here to begin with? Like, what is it that you guys don't understand that it's not, it's these transgender individuals that we allowed to have all these rights, sure, most of us don't care, are now the people that are stealing women's spaces, are now the people that are allowed to have children, bring children into the world, adopt children, and bring more confusion. Because now you have a woman that transitioned into a man, cut her tits off. I don't know what she did. Well, I guess she kept her vagina, looks like a male, has a beard, and now they are pregnant. Do you see that baby's going to come out and see a man? There's no mother. Do you see how that's just completely fucking demonic?
To me,
like, I don't understand how people just keep saying that this doesn't matter and it doesn't matter what adults do with their body when clearly it's affecting everybody.
Well, I think that the bigger argument is because, you know, we all want to stand by the live and let live argument, right? Okay. They're not letting live and let live. They want to erase women. Transgender ideology is the new, quote unquote, what feminists call the patriarchy. You quite literally have men trying to erase womanhood. We can't call it breastfeeding anymore. Now it's chest feeding. We can't call ourselves mothers. We're birthing parents. Apparently Dylan can call himself a mother, but as a woman, we can. Now we're birthing parents, according to Congress. Mm-hmm. You know, it's endless, the erasure of women, of who we are, what we do, what we contribute into society. And I know that people make the argument, it's like, oh, well, people transgender both ways. No. The transition rates from men to women are actually higher 3-1. 75% of all transitions are men to women, not the other way around. So realistically, who's getting the shitty end of the stick here with trans ideology? Because it ain't men. Well, maybe men, because some of you don't even know when you're looking at a transgender woman.
But there
woman
is now. A lot of women who are transitioning to male. Like that doctor, Dr.
No, Gattenberg, there's a lot of them, but still statistically, yeah. The number of people to transition is 3-to-1 male to female. So yes, there are females that transition to male, but the majority mm-hmm. of transitions are taking place for males transitioning into female. Now you've got
and
something.
By the way, this is also making men weird. And it's because it's making them deviant. Like, I don't care how that sounds. I don't care how it is. And I'm going to tell you guys right now that sometimes I'll go to see Blair White's profile. For those of you who don't know, Blair White is a transgender YouTuber who people think she's based and conservative. So sometimes I go to Blair White's profile and I go see who likes and comments on her post. And I see a bunch of men that I follow or follow me. And I'm like, do you guys realize that you're actually complimenting another dude? And that now you think this dude is a woman? And she's hot, and this is pretty like homo. I mean, I'm judging you.
Well, isn't that
like,
that's
I'm
the point,
fucking
though.
Judging you. If you're one of those people that's doing that, I want you to know that I'm judging you as a homosexual, and a deviant because you are admiring a male that is now pretending to be a woman. So just so we're clear, if there's
just
any
so
of you guys,
we're clear on where it is that we I judge stand you. With that. Yeah, I think that it's the hypocrisy of feminists claiming to support female rights while simultaneously also, you know, bringing up the trans movement that does erase women. It erases our individuality, our the things that make us special and complementary to men, and to have, you know. I'm sure that Dylan doesn't, I'm not sure if he realizes, because he seems like a nice enough dude in his own delusion, but you know, you are doing something detrimental to women. You are hurting the women that you claim that you love and you want to be at. I've never understood why they can't just be proud of being trans. You are so, the entire LGBT community is about pride and being proud about who you are. So why not be proud in who you are, which is that you are a man that has transitioned into a woman. And I think if there was that level of openness without the cancellation and the persecution of people that refuse to say, yes, you are a woman because they are not, I think that that's where things get icky and terrible, because you are not allowing people to, I don't know, show up to the world as they would want, the same way that you want to show up as
yeah,
a man transition
to a woman.
Yeah,
but most of those people are not mentally okay. And most of those people either want attention or they have some sort of like really big trauma that has led them into the path of transitioning. And in fact, there's a famous gay man from the UK. I think his name is like Ollie Oil or something like that. And he lived 6 months as a transgender woman. And now he came out and said that, you know, he was wrong and he found God, and now he wants to talk about his testimony of, you know, like transitioning back into just being a regular gay man. So more than usual, or more than ever, it's a person with a clear mind and a sound mind that makes these decisions to stop their you know, natural cycle and become something that they're not. But we're not going to make this about trannies, because it's just really annoying. We have to deal with them everywhere, including our makeup stores, which, you know, where else are we going to shop? I mean, I don't really shop at Ulta, but then that leaves us with
Sephora hates us too.
In fact, Sephora, during Pride Week, if you went to the Sephora on the beach or anywhere, there was their ugly flag everywhere, that new flag, not the regular rainbow, the
one that's got
uglier.
The brown and the black and right. The triangle and the things.
It's that, and
the last one had the Ukraine.
Yes. And so there's the flags, and now you have posters of all their inclusivity, and they also have all these weird people. And so the situation of them taking over women's spaces really bothers me. There's a team from a small town in, was it California or Washington? There's a volleyball team right now that is fighting because they're letting a transgender student change in the women's locker room, and it's 16 girls against one. And it's like, there's see, that's not a democracy. If it were a real democracy, those 16 girls that are speaking out against that one student would have the upper hand, and right. the school would do what they want. Instead, right. they're going through all these legal battles and whatnot because the school chooses to give priority to a person that decided to identify as those girls' genders. That's what Live and Let Live has actually created. It's created a bunch of entitled individuals that think that they can just do whatever they want, whenever they want it. And it's actually pretty unfortunate. We also want to talk about something that's been happening in Dearborn, Michigan. I posted a clip of a school board meeting that happened last week. And you see a bunch of Muslim parents speaking out against the LGBT books, like most parents are all over the United States of America. And the meeting got super rowdy, so they had to reschedule it, and they had to go to a bigger auditorium. 600 people, I believe, attended this meeting, the majority of them being Muslims, and also you had Christians, and then a few people that were speaking for the books. I took a look at some of the books that the parents were protesting, and some of the books literally talk about giving blowjobs, finishing off your friend with a handjob, and others, and butt sex, of course, their favorite. If you don't have butt sex in third grade, what type of country do we have, right?
Classy.
So, obviously, big haram for the Muslim community, and now there's an Antifa page, of course, that is created to stalk the parents, the Muslim parents, call them Nazis, Hitler, far right. And I think the funniest
They're
calling them Nazis, right? This white progressive woman, shocker, is calling these people Hitler and Nazi, because that's what we do whenever we don't like someone's ideology. We just say Hitler. And that's it. And so I think the funniest tweet was when a gay man, right? So there's this liberal reporter, and he's like tweeting everything that is happening in this meeting. And then a gay man goes to talk in front of the parents and say, there must be unity between the LGBT and the Muslim community, because the far right is coming after us and they hate us both. And then, and then the Muslims start laughing, making fun of the guy and booing him. And it's just like, you just don't fucking get it. Like, you just don't get it. Like, the far right is not the problem. You are. Your ideology is the problem. You
That's
see what
like
I mean?
The one chick that we have that shows up at the school board meetings that was in jail recently.
Elizabeth Sanchez?
No, not Elizabeth Sanchez. The other one that was at the last school board meeting the transgender flag and the Free Palestine.
Right.
The Free Palestine shirt and the tranny flag at the same school board meeting.
Right. And you know what's crazy? It's per usual, you know, you had this one parent who's really outspoken. He's a bald man. I'm sure maybe you guys have seen him going viral on social media. I guess he's kind of like the leader of the entire parent movement. And they have found all these pictures of this man that I wish I had, and we would just put him up. They have found all these pictures of this man in his free time at strip clubs and taking shots and with the ladies and stuff like that. And of course, Antifa, the morality police, goes online to say, oh, this is the leader. This is the Muslim leader of the parent protests. Look at him enjoying his life in degeneracy with titties in his face. Bro, are we like, what is there not to understand that if you want to go motorboat some stripper on the weekend, it doesn't matter, because what we're talking about is that we don't want the children to learn about butt sex in the fifth grade. Like, it's not that hard to understand. I don't understand what's not computing to the libtards. What is not computing to the libtards? They don't get it. So they go on and they find all these pictures of you in your free time as an adult. The guy actually is hilarious because he's reposting all of them and saying, I'm a 42-year-old man. I have fun in my free time. What does this have to do with the school system? They try to do it to me. Antifa tried to do it to me. They went to my, which is public, it's not private. They went to my personal TikTok last year when I was in Vegas with the girls. And they posted a video of me in Vegas. By the way, that was open to the public to see, saying, here's fascist grifter Linda Catalina from Miami living her best life in degeneracy while preaching about degeneracy. And I'm like, bro, first of all, I'm at a pool party. I'm not like blowing off a guy on camera or something like that. So I don't understand how that's degenerate, but that's neither here or there. And then what does that have to do with the school? What does that have to do with children not learning porn when they are in elementary school or in middle school?
What is there not to compute?
It just doesn't. I don't get it.
I want to give a quick shout out to the MG show that just stepped into the chat. Shady and from In the Matrix. Nice. Thank you guys. I heard that you sent some people my way, so we appreciate that. But also, we want to give a shout out to Raina Johnson, who said, Linda, I'm wearing my daddy sweatshirt right now. And Shooter 305, who continuously supports us. He says, the devil is working real hard, but we will win. Thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate these super chats and you guys engaging with us. Yeah, it's incredible to me that they don't understand that the conversation even has to go that way. But if you've been paying attention to the Truefer community for the last 4 or 5 years or so, then you know that this is something that we have been openly talking about for a very long time, mm-hmm. which is that we are threading a very thin line in where people are going to start justifying pedophilia. And it's where we're headed to. Because when it's not blatantly obvious, when we have to make an argument for why you shouldn't teach children in the third, fourth, and fifth grade how to play with butts, then what comes next? Because the same way that they make you feel guilty and they tell you things like, you're a horrible person if you don't believe that we should take over Iran and remove the hijab from women. You are a horrible person if you don't think that the United Nations should go into Cuba and take down Fidel Castro. You are a horrible... What else do they throw at us? You're a horrible person if you don't believe that the BLM riots were justified. They always play with our feelings in hopes of making us feel like we are these terrible, shitty people. And that's exactly what they're going to start doing with pedophiles. Mm-hmm. Well, they're only minor attracted. They're not offending pedophiles. So, you know, it's just an illness like alcoholism or anything else, and they should be allowed. And we're threading that line where the next argument will be the age of consent for children. Now they're going to start drawing lines of like, well, maybe if it's a 10-year span and it's only 10 years and the person's 16 and then before 16 turns to 13. But it's all leading in the very direction that us truthers have been talking about for the last couple of years. And people called us crazy. How dare you call us groomers 4 or 5 years ago before they started putting butt sex and jerking off into the school manuals.
And then remember, they don't like to talk about the Weimar Republic and how this has already been a thing. And it was a thing back in Germany in the 1930s. They don't like to talk about that because it's technically what gave Hitler comes to power a few years after. And so if you talk about what was going on during the Weimar Republic, which a lot of it was the gender transitioning, it was underage prostitution, it was rampant drug abuse and stuff like that, they don't like to talk about it because then they'll say that you're making an excuse for the rise of the Nazis,
right.
The Nazi party. And so then we're forced, per usual, to not talk about what is actually, how it is that this happened in Weimar Germany. We're not allowed to talk about that. You guys are more than welcome to research on your own and see what happened. Then also inflation, really, really, really high inflation during that time in Germany in Weimar Germany. But I do want to talk about what's going on in the Antifa circles and the far left with Anthony Sabatini. So Anthony Sabatini, one of our friends, he ran for Congress, didn't win the primary in somewhere in Florida, I forgot right now. But the point is that really base man, and he tweeted this week or yesterday about a quote from Francisco Franco. If you don't know who Francisco Franco is or was, he was a dictator in, or you know, that's what they call him, a dictator in Spain back in what, like the 40s, right? And so he ruled with an iron fist. He was actually a Catholic. And the reason why he came to power is because the communists were basically a menace to Spain. They were burning down nuns. They were doing all of the degenerate and criminal stuff that you see them doing now. And as a result, a hard right-wing party took over. A military guy took over. And so this is what we've talked about in other shows, where when you have an extreme left, when you have all these communists who take over your institutions, rampant degeneracy, criminal acts against religious people, you will eventually have a hardcore right that comes after you, because the pendulum swims like this, mm-hmm. like this. And that's something that Antifa and the left doesn't like to hear. So today you have an outrage on Twitter from our friend Thomas Kennedy. I'm sure Billy Corbin. I'm sure the Miami anti-fasc people and everybody else crying about Anthony Sabatini. He's tweeting a dictator. He's tweeting a dictator. Oh, Thomas Kennedy, as an example, praises the new president in Colombia. What's the drunk's name? The president in Colombia, Pedro. He praises Pedro, who's a far right, a literal radical, un guerrillero, a guerrilla member, a narc that lived in that was committing terrorist acts back in the 90s in Colombia. And because of the peace treaty, all those people basically were forgiven, and now he's the president of Colombia. That's okay. It's fine for the left to praise
communists,
criminals, that matter.
Why don't we talk about the fact that for the last, I don't know, decade, we've had to watch people glorify images of El Che. So we're forced to exist in a society that glorifies communists, murderous communists. And again, the expectation that that's not going to swing both ways. Mm-hmm. Well, if people are going to openly support communists, and this is what it is that you can expect, that the right is going to start looking at. Thank you guys so much.
Shout out to Eric Joseph. And to, is that your friend?
Yeah, MG Show. Both are my friends. Eric. Eric's a regular on my chat and always dropping the best content on my chat, by the way. And MG Show in the Matrix. Can't even believe you're here, bud. Thanks for coming on. If you guys don't watch the MG Show, he's got all of the local developments in Trump world going on, and big on Truth Social. Everybody wants to follow MG Show on Truth Social. He's got all the good stuff. And he's also very heavily involved in local election efforts. So I would strongly encourage, in fact, speaking of the MG Show, I want to point out, I always, whenever I have the opportunity, if you guys are interested in doing a little bit of research on how it is that your local elections are affected on a local level, MG Show has a great 3-part series about the 3 pillars of election integrity. And it's a 3-part series that I strongly encourage you guys to watch if you haven't, especially as we get closer to this election, to kind of give you guys an idea of what exactly happens behind the scenes that result in what we saw in 2020.
Here's a problem with the right. I want to tell you guys something that is a problem with conservatives, right? As somebody that votes Republican, no, I'm not being paid to drive division like some of the losers on the internet have to say. Okay, we have a Muslim community in Dearborn, Michigan, that we just talked about. This Muslim community has been historically voting blue, right? Why? There's no outrage from conservatives and Republicans towards the Muslim community. One reason. But they're culturally conservative, much like the Latino population. So just misguided. Now they're rejecting the left. They're actually openly saying that they will not vote for the Muslim Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. Right, they're booing him. They're saying this entire indoctrination of the LGBT community or LGBT ideology in schools is because of Rashida Tlaib. And instead of the GOP saying, hey, we have the opportunity to take this community under our wing that is rejecting this ideology, is taking part of the culture war. Instead of doing that, you know what the GOP is doing? The candidate that is running for governor, Tuxer Dixie or something like that, who's running for governor in Michigan, instead, she is basically shitting on their culture and saying that the hijab is oppressive and the women oppression, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, you take a look at those 600 people and you see the women, the Muslim women sitting on in that auditorium. And the majority of them are actually either wearing hijabs or burqas. What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
There
what does
is,
that tell you?
There really is no privilege like American privilege.
None.
No
Zero.
Privilege like American Zero. Privilege where you Americans feel like they're on this constant mission to liberate people that right. don't need to be
And it's
liberated.
Both parties. It's not just
That's why I say American privilege in general. This isn't a Democrat-Republican thing. Republicans genuinely feel, we've gotten into fights about this over the last couple of weeks, that what's going on in Iran and that people need to, that women need to have the hijabs taken off and that they should free the nipple.
It's a small minority. What's happening in Iran is actually a very small minority. How do I know this? I'll tell you right now. But before that, I want to give a shout out to my friend, Papi Joe Reyna. He's my boy. I've known this guy since like high school. The best ever. I just saw him recently. Papi Joe, thank you so much for the support. You are the best. He constantly listens to our show and loves it. He just gave us a super shot. So you guys know that I'm obsessed with seeing what is around the world. That's why I go stalk these people on Snapchat and TikTok and whatnot. And what I have found, which I have not published on Instagram because I just don't want to get into fight with the feminists and the Iranians, is that the people that are actually protesting the hijab in Iran, it's a very small minority of people. And there's actually a lot of content, videos, pictures from the pro-Islamic Republic regime protests. So there has been counter-protests to the anti-hijab protests, which are three times as large as the anti-hijab protests. And the reason why I won't post them is because every single time that I have posted a different perspective of what's going on in the country, conservatives tell me that I'm posting propaganda. They tell me that what I'm actually posting is women or men from that are forced to go outside and be pro-Islamic regime, and that that's not the reality. That the reality of the situation is that all these women in Iran, they've never taken a poll. They actually have no idea the percentage of women that don't want hijabs. However, they claim that it's all of Iran that doesn't want the mandatory hijab. Go on TikTok and research some of these Muslim content creators and see what they're going to tell you. They're actually pissed off that they're burning down the hijabs because to these women, that veil is a symbol for Allah or whatever it is. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to agree with veiling.
To me, it's always hysterical watching people come into our comments and tell us like, oh, you're posting Iranian propaganda or Putin propaganda or whatnot. It's like, bruh, you're agreeing with the last tweet that Hillary Clinton made. You're agreeing with the last tweet that George Soros put out. And you're going to come on our platform and tell us that we're spreading propaganda. You guys got to learn how to expand your mind. Because it's not even, it's the offense that they take. Like, you're spreading propaganda. It's like, no, asshole. I'm giving you the same truth that you didn't want to hear in 2020 about BLM.
It's happening in Haiti, too. For those of you who don't know, there's a big, I guess, economic collapse of the Haitian economy. Right now, there's been protests on the streets. There's no food. There's no humanitarian aid. Basically, Haiti is in shambles. And Haiti, obviously, as you guys know, there's been a lot of U.S. intervention in Haiti. Nothing good has come out of it, including the Clinton help. And as a result, Haiti is now taking the streets, asking for Russia to help them and not the U.S. So I showed Bella all these videos that I haven't published of the Haitians in the street. Obviously, they're all black and they're waving around the Russian flag, asking for either Russia or China to intervene and not the U.S. because they have seen that in the last 50 years since the U.S. has intervened in their small nation, they have brought nothing but death, despair, and the worst of the worst.
Let's talk about the Clinton Foundation alone. Mm-hmm. They've killed their crops. They've helped steal their children.
Yeah.
Like, this is Salisbury was an actual person. There was actually people stealing children out of Haiti. Absolutely. Why would any Haitian want anything to do with Americans? Especially not when, more likely, the Americans want to send the Clinton Foundation once again back to Haiti to represent their best interest or however it goes. Such a toxic thing to watch. But people are revolting, right?
People are revolting.
And, you know, this goes back to the conversation about J6, which to me, it was always the optics of it for me, because I always felt that had what happened on November 3rd happened without J6, and it would have been so easy for them to just take down our pages, mess with our likes, you know, shadow ban our content, and then the conversation would have just kind of disappeared. And it's because people were so upset and the media had to capture that moment that the that we're still talking about it. And right. It's kind of watching the uprising of people in Haiti hit the streets and be like, absolutely not. We don't want Americans helping us. We want the Russian or the Chinese to come in. Right. Has turned it into such a big thing where if the media could ignore this, they would.
Well, they are ignoring it. That's why you can only see videos on TikTok or Twitter or maybe some on Instagram. I haven't seen Instagram. The reason why I know also that what's happening in Haiti is real is because I follow an organization on Instagram called Mama Haiti. And Mama Haiti basically helps these poor women give birth through doulas and midwives. And they also train the doulas and midwives to be able to provide these free services for pregnant women. And so over the last like 2 weeks, they've been posting all these stories of the owner who had to first fly to the Dominican Republic and cross the border by foot with her employees to be able to get to the birth center. And they've been documenting the whole thing. It's actually really sad what's happening. Lots of poverty, lots of crime. People are hungry. I mean, there was this one mom, the story, I didn't post it on my story because I was really sad, but there was this one story of a mom who got to the birth center and she died. She died at birth. And it wasn't that it was a complicated birth, but that she was basically starving because there's nothing. There's no food. It's really sad. You guys can check it out, Mama Haiti on Instagram.
Couple of quick shout outs before we continue. American Advocate Latino says it's a matter of time before the wrong Jotito messes with a real man's kid. This is extremely dangerous for that group. I know what kind of dad I am. And also Daniel Cavan says national socialism is a reaction to communism. Yeah, that's what happens when you end up going all the way down to one extreme. And then also Joe Reyna, you guys are the best. Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you guys so much. And while the super chats are on fire today.
Yes.
MG Show took care of us again. And Adam Silva, great show as always, ladies. So proud to support you both. Thank you, Adam. From the bottom of my heart.
Long-term followers.
We appreciate you guys so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that I found deep down in my research on TikTok was that you guys remember the Venezuelan crisis of DeSantis sending these migrants over to Martha's Vineyard. And I believe the Texas governor also sent them to New York and stuff like that. There was a bunch of Venezuelans that were released from prison that were crossing the jungle in Panama over to the United States. And basically, they were just letting them in the country without checking who they are, if they had any criminal history. It was just like, okay, here you go. Welcome to the United States of America. And a lot of them went to New Jersey and a lot of them went to New York. And one mistake that they made was that they were documenting everything on TikTok. They were documenting everything, like all the stupid shit that they were doing when they first got here. They were posting it on the social media app. And so the reaction from the Venezuelans that live here, the residents and citizens of Miami-Dade that are Venezuelan and other places in the United States, has been that they don't want those people here, that they're a bad representation of their people and that they're actually giving them a bad name, because many of them came here with expectations, very entitled, thinking that they were going to be given housing, phones, a job, everything that they need, because it's America and everyone's rich. And so those type of expectations and that type of behavior is what the Venezuelans that live here are saying that led Biden to close the border, and now they're kicking them out over to Mexico.
Well, let's talk about when I know we had mentioned this a couple of shows ago, but I think it's important to bring it up again. Where? You know, in the 1980s, there was a mass exodus of Cubans that left Cuba to come to Florida. It was called El Mariel. And what Fidel Castro did was that he released all of the inmates in prison and released all of the individuals that were being held in mental institutions and put them in with these migrants in order to be able to destabilize America. He was pissed off at America and he's like, all right, the exile community wants to take them in, then you're going to take all of them in. Right. And a lot of people are not aware that this is happening all over South America.
Right.
All over South America, there are countries releasing prisoners from their jails and sending them to the border. And they're coming in here with the same intent that it was back in the 80s. And for those of you who are not familiar with El Mariel, after that exodus and that mass immigration that wouldn't be immigration, of Cubans into Miami, Florida was actually considered within that 10-year span to be the most dangerous place in the entire country because of these criminals that were brought out here. And just so that you, this is what happened in Florida, one country releasing their jails and releasing their mental institutions. And this is happening all over South America. In fact, we've fallen into an algorithm on Twitter, on TikTok, that's actually all videos of people. Remember the one video we saw recently, which was a woman recording on the subway, and she's like, "It's never." Where was she in Venezuela? Oh yeah,
she was in Venezuela, and she was saying, "Thank you so much, Americans. Thank you so much for taking all of the malandros. Malandros are like criminals and bad people from Venezuela, and keeping them over there because now we can actually show off our phones and be able to record without feeling threatened that they're actually going to stab us for a phone." So it's pretty funny to watch those reactions. We are getting to the end of our live, but we want to take some questions from you guys and kind of chat a little bit for about 10 to 15 minutes. So feel free to type questions on the chat and ask us different things or just commentary. I did see someone say, hold on.
Oh, they're talking about the tents in New York City.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So New York City opened up this like a shelter, if you will, for single male immigrants, which, by the way, make up a large proportion of the people that are coming in illegally through the border, neither here nor there. So in New York, they have flat screen TVs, phones, Xboxes, couches, TVs, AC, food service 24/7. And all of the food is going to be, of course, Latino themed because this is where the immigrants are coming from.
Unlimited calls.
Bruh. I'm scared my husband's going to leave me so he can go hang out in this freaking room and, like, play Xbox or some shit. Well, he doesn't play Xbox, but, yeah. Like, to get away. He's like, I'm going to go hang out with the single dudes. They're living the life. And it's this is the product of communism, right? Which is you give people everything that they need, and then why would they have to go out of their way to work and earn anything? You're giving them a free pass to the United States, a free cell phone, a free Xbox, a place to stay, a nice flat screen TV, free food around the clock. Why would any of these people go out of their way to find a job?
No, they don't. They don't want to. I mean, they didn't come here with the intention of actually getting a job. They came here with the intention of being able to live off the government, to live off of us and the taxpayers. And I think it's just, you know, people don't get that. You know, the left just wants open borders and, you know, take in all refugees because white man is responsible for the suffrage of the world. But they have no idea that most of these people don't intend to work or to get off their feet. They just want to live off of us. Somebody said, somebody asked, who was the lady tied to Hillary Clinton that was taking kids from Haiti? That was Laura Silsby. So if you guys can look up Laura Silsby.
I'm going to go ahead and put it in the chat so that you guys can find it. You can do a little bit of research on her. But basically, Laura Silsby was found to have been illegally trafficking children out of Haiti. And she didn't see any kind of punishment for it whatsoever. In fact, the scary thing is that after she is discovered to be trafficking these children in Haiti, she gets a job with, not Life Alert, which one is the one for the kids?
Amber Alert.
She gets a job. I don't know if it was with Amber Alert. I'm trying to
think. It was Amber Alert.
Was it Amber Alert that she worked with? Yeah, well, she starts working with an organization that specifically handles missing children.
Missing children, yeah.
Nothing to see here, people. Nothing to see here, you know? Because human trafficking is nothing but a QAnon conspiracy theory.
Let me see what else. Amber, did she change her name? I'm not sure if she changed her name, but I do know.
I think she's still operating under her normal name. I don't think that there's been any repercussions whatsoever. And I mean, you can look it up. It's not like it's a secret that she was trying to get the kids, that she attempted to cross the kids out of Haiti into the United States. She got caught with something like 30-something kids.
Jacqueline said, wasn't this tied back to the Clinton Foundation? Yes. She got caught taking kids, Haitian kids, across the border to the Dominican Republic without the parents' permission. She lied and said that all those kids' parents had died in the earthquake, is what it was. It was after the earthquake. And then she got caught at the border illegally trafficking these kids over to the Dominican Republic. Bill Clinton flies over, talks to the government. She lets go with, like, basically nothing. And then that's when she comes back to the States, opens up the Amber Alert.
A good thing. They just brought it up. We didn't get a chance to talk about the CDC, and we advised it's super important. So yesterday, or was it today?
Today.
The CDC took a vote, and they have voted 15-1 to include the COVID vaccine in the children's vaccination schedule.
Right.
Well, first of all, let's start off with nobody elected the CDC. So that's just the first place to start. Unfortunately, You know, for somebody like Linda specifically, who has actually been in the freedom keeping fight for quite some time, for those of you that are not aware, the Freedom Keepers is a large advocacy group that has been around for what, the last 30 years or so, I would say, fighting back on mandates. A lot of people want to get rid of the shots altogether. That's not going to happen. But what we can fight back is mandates. So as long as there's an opportunity where you can opt out of it, then it's okay. Whoever wants to take it can take it, and whoever doesn't, doesn't. And this has been the fight of anti-shot people for the last 30 plus years. And this is part of what we've been warning about for a very long time. So now the CDC has made this recommendation. And for somebody in the state of Florida, probably not going to be a huge deal. You still have exemptions. You can still opt out. For somebody in the state of California, that's going to be a different story. I think that this is a perfect example to talk about how important and pivotal local fights are, like we do in every single podcast, where this is going to be one of those things where if you don't want these CDC guidelines or recommendations to be implemented at your local district, then you're going to have to fight this local. There's no other way to fight it. There's going to be counties that are going to get rid of them, and there's going to be counties that are going to have to keep them. And it's 100% going to depend on how many people get out and fight this. I can tell you right now, Miami-Dade has nothing to worry about. We're like,
well, here's the thing, most people don't realize that a lot of states still have exemptions that you can get so that you don't have to take these shots before, or your children don't have to take the shots before they go to school. And Florida is one of those states where you can get a religious exemption or a medical exemption. I think we don't have the philosophical exemptions. And so when it comes down to the CDC either recommending or mandating the COVID vaccine for kids, there will be, like Bella says, some states where it's going to be a lot tougher to get around it. If it is just recommended like the flu, then you actually don't have to worry about it being mandated, because they would say it recommended. If you go to the CDC right now and look at the children's immunization schedule, you're going to see which ones are required, including like the Hep B, the polio, MMR, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to see the flu in parentheses. It says recommended. Now, I briefly talked about the children's immunization schedule today on my story, because there's a lot of people noticing that adults are suddenly dying. And so I brought up the point that someone posted a tweet or a commentary somewhere that says sudden infant death syndrome and sudden adult syndrome, death syndrome, are caused by the same thing, if you know what we mean. And so for years, I mean, I'm talking about years, mothers have been crying and saying, hey, I took my perfectly healthy 6-month, 4-month, 2-month baby to their wellness check, which is really a vaccination check. And it got 6 of these cocktails. We go to sleep, my baby doesn't wake up. The baby's dead.
You do the math.
You call 911. My baby's not waking up. If you're co-sleeping with the kid, good luck, because they're probably going to blame it on you, because co-sleeping is super dangerous, allegedly. And if it's not co-sleeping and the baby was just in its crib on its own and you did all the right things, they're going to label it as SIDS, which means that they have no idea why your baby suddenly died, coincidentally, no correlation to the 6 cocktails that it got hours before, you know, he or she passed away. So it's really sad. I've had to hear so many stories of these parents on my channel since I opened it, of parents whose children just don't wake up, right? And it's something that I think karmatic circle life, you know, everything is kind of like a cycle. I think that all these sudden adult syndromes or sudden adult deaths have to happen for people to wake up and say, oh shit, you know, like it's not just the adult. What makes you think, you know, I post this question on my story today. You've never gone to the doctor and they've told you you need 6 of these cocktails right now. Maybe when you go to the military, they actually do it to the military.
It's really bad if you, when you go to the military, they make you update all of your pharma juices if you don't have them, or if you test that you don't have any antibody. And so if you
you're also the first ones to get a new one that comes out.
If you are enrolled in the military, then you're going to get, who knows, maybe they'll do 11 shots that you're missing at the same time. For babies, though, you know, think about it right now as an adult. Let's say that you were, you wanted the Rona cocktail and you go, and then they tell you, come back 3 months later for your booster, come back 3 months later. You get one of these cocktails a pop, right? You're an adult, maybe you weigh 140 pounds, maybe you weigh 200 pounds. Now you're talking about a baby that's like 8 pounds when they're 2 months, or maybe 10 pounds, right? And that little baby has to get 6 cocktails at the same time from different manufacturers for 6 or 8 different viruses, because some of these cocktails actually have like 2 viruses in one, right? How does that make sense to anybody? Like, even if you do make the choice to go through these cocktails for your children's protection, we want to respect that choice. How does it make sense to you as a parent that your baby body can handle 6 of these cocktails at the same time? Does that make any sense to me? But some parents think it's wise, and you know, it's more like you're sacrificing your child to the altar of big pharma more than anything. We talk about, I'm so scared of my children dying from the measles and polio and hepatitis B. Not sure why hepatitis B would be a big deal, but we don't talk about how sick children are nowadays. We don't talk about allergies. We don't talk about eczema. We don't talk about asthma. We don't talk about gut issues, autism, all these things that children have nowadays, which is most of them, you know.
And that are considered normal.
Right. It's been normalized completely. My friend, one of my best friends, Stephanie, she has a 3-year-old daughter. You know, she was able to keep her baby free of all poison. Got to talk in code here. And so now that her baby's 3 years old, I was talking to her and her husband not too long ago, and her husband saying, you know what, I'm in a group chat with other parents and these kids are constantly sick. The kids are constantly going to the ER for ear infections. The kids have problems with their breathing. The kids need a nebulizer for asthma. Some have allergies to absolutely everything. I mean, just look at your average child. Right. If he or she doesn't have at least a food allergy to peanuts or eggs or dairy or whatever, you're lucky, because most kids nowadays have 1,000 things going on, especially the ear infections. The ear infections is a big thing with kids nowadays. It's weird because they have normalized saying children are just sick all the time. Like, who the fuck says that and thinks it's normal? Yeah. We heard parents say this. They're like, oh, children, I'll answer the question now. Children are just always sick. Like, you know, my children are just always being around kids and, you know, touching each other, always sick. It's like, nah, dude, you have normalized children being sick, and they're all sick at the same time because they all get their rounds at the same time to be able to go to school.
Yeah. Eric, hit us up offline. Honestly, if you're in South Florida, I will make it very easy for you. I think there's only 2 pediatricians in the entire county. Mm-hmm. So hit me up offline. You can send me a message and we'll talk a little bit about that. Guys, I think we're getting to the end of our show. Wow. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much
for the support. We're continuously growing. Next week, we are going to be streaming live on Rumble as well. So we are going to start getting that platform together so that we have more ways of being in contact with you guys. But like usual, you know, that we're fully self-funded. No lizard people, no Illuminati, just us working our butts off and trying to make something happen so that we can give a platform that you guys can relate to. So thank you again for the support. Really appreciate it.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to share and like our videos. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Mostly Peaceful Latinas, on TikTok also Mostly Peaceful Latinas. We'll be on Rumble soon. You can listen to the podcast tomorrow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. So thank you so much for today. Thank you to everybody who supported us with the super chat, and we'll see you next week.